Well, if you've looked at the news at all in the last 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, you might use the old expression, it looks like the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Because it does sort of seem that way. We had Russia invading a country of 40 million inhabitants for no better reason than their leader thought Russia should be a little bit bigger than it is right now. We have India and the rise of Hindu nationalism and the battle of Hindus versus Sikhs and Muslims and Christians, which has overflowed right into Canada with the assassination of a Sikh leader in Vancouver. And now in the last few days, we have Israel. And it seems like the future being an all-out war between Israel and Hamas, following a rather vicious and unpredictable terrorist attack. What drives these kinds of things? Why do we have this kind of evil overflowing into our lives? And yes, it's true, in Canada and the United States, we've been somewhat protected by these sorts of things. But make no mistake that our turn will probably come at some point. Because evil still exists. And evil thrives on fear. Fear then leads to anger, and anger leads to suffering. And yes, George Lucas was right. That is the path to the dark side. Fear. Fear is what makes these things happen. Fear is what drove Russia to invade Ukraine, that Russia would disappear from the world stage, that it wouldn't be important anymore, that people wouldn't pay attention to them. Fear is what's driving Prime Minister Modi and the Indian government to persecute any religion that isn't Hindu out of fear that they'll lose their national identity. And fear is what drove Hamas to attack Israel. Fear that no one was paying attention to them anymore. Well, we'll show them. We'll get their attention. And fear, of course, is what is going to drive Israel to retaliate in a very big way. Fear of another attack. But what if we didn't fear? What if we could reduce everything in the world to one thing that we could fear losing, and then had the assurance and the promise that we would never lose that very thing of which we are afraid of? It would cut short the whole chain, wouldn't it? Fear wouldn't have to lead to anger anymore. Anger wouldn't have to lead to suffering. That's actually what Paul's talking about to his church in Philippi. Paul worried about a lot of things. Paul was worried about the future of Judaism. In fact, one of the reasons why Paul persecuted the Christian church was that he was probably part of a very strict sect within Phariseeism. If you thought all Pharisees were strict, that's not true. Gamaliel was a Pharisee, and we can read about him in Acts, where he's like, really, we don't need to persecute all the Christians. Either they're right, in which case we can never do away with them, or they're wrong and they'll just fade out by themselves. But Paul was a part of this group within the Pharisees who believed that the Messiah could only come once Israel kept the law of God perfectly. And his fear was that these Jews who were converting to Christianity were undoing the promise. That if they weren't shut down and persecuted and returned to the fold, the Messiah would never come and God would never love his people anymore. He would continue to allow them to be oppressed by Rome. Fear is what drove Paul to anger against the Christians, which is what led to their suffering. But then Paul had an encounter while he was on his way to Syria to persecute another Christian church. He had an encounter with Christ. Jesus, who was raised from the dead, and suddenly Paul's whole world was turned upside down. And he realized that all of these other things that he was living in fear of didn't matter at all. There was only one thing that mattered. God did indeed love not only him but the world so much that he sent his one and only Son. And even though his people and the Romans conspired together to kill that Messiah, God still turns around, shows the world the holes in his hands, and says, peace be with you. Shalom. As the Father has sent me, so do I send you. And so Paul writes to the Philippians and says, all this other stuff that I worried about was garbage, was rubbish, was fit for the bottom of the outhouse. I don't even need any of these things anymore. So what I was a Hebrew of Hebrews? So what I was from the tribe of Benjamin? So what that I was blameless under the law? Now, I have the only thing needful, and that is Jesus. It's the only thing that he wanted to make sure that he held on to. Now, if there was a chance that Jesus was going to come and go from our lives and that his promises weren't certain and that maybe some days he dies for our sins and some days he doesn't, you could see how we would continue to live in fear. And fear would continue to lead to anger, and anger would continue to lead to suffering. We would become a people of God who are constantly living in fear that we would lose the thing that mattered most to us. But that's not the God that we have. The promises that Jesus gives in Scripture are certain and true. When Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood," he means it now and for always. When Jesus says, "I have forgiven you your sins," it is true for now and always. When Jesus baptizes you and makes you part of his family, it is true for now and always. No one, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so if Jesus is the only thing that we might lose that matters, and Jesus promises that you will never lose me, what is left to fear? What is left to be angry about? Our world is awash in very angry people. Everywhere. I've seen it. You've seen it. You've read about it in papers. You've probably seen it in your communities. You've seen it online. You've seen it in videos. Everywhere we turn, there is anger. And behind that anger is sin, and behind sin is the devil. This is what he wants, to generate fear that without us being angry, somehow we will lose God. One of my favorite songs I've been listening to a lot recently is by an American composer by the name of Treva Bloomquist. I wondered if she was Lutheran, because that's a good Lutheran Scandinavian name, but I haven't been able to find any evidence of that. The song is very short, and it goes like this. I saw anger walking round like he owns this town. Saw his face, he tried to hide, he's really good with his disguise. Anger saw me watching him, stood his ground, gave me a grin, whispered words I won't believe. Then anger started watching me. I know his name. I know his game. He lights a fire to watch it burn. Followed me into my house, quiet as an old church mouse, waited very patiently. Then anger took a hold of me. I know his name. I know his game. He lights a fire between you and me. Our adversary, the devil, roars like a lion, seeking someone to devour, seeking to make us fear, that our fear might lead to anger, and that our anger might lead to suffering for us and for everyone. Paul says, count all those things as rubbish, and know Christ, who is certain, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who loves you with the love that brought him to the point of death on a cross, who rose from the dead not to gloat, but that you might have the assurance that you too will rise. And if knowing Christ is the only thing that matters, what is there to fear? In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.